Investment flash.
Oil stockpiles are draining. Hormuz is shut, and the AI trade just hit an earnings wall. This is the kind of morning where you need more than coffee.
Welcome to Investment Flash, New York edition, Wednesday, July 16th. I'm Marie. With me, Tom, our momentum engine, and Gerald, who I'm sure has a PE ratio chart open already.
Always, Marie. And look, crude's spiking and chips are selling off. The world's going back to the 1970s and the 2000s at the same time.
Oh, Gerald, you love a good comparison. But seriously, the oil story is the one. The FT is running headlines about traders warning we're running on empty, not a drill. And by the way, your buy oil call from yesterday's London edition? Crushing it, buddy.
That call was already in the FT 3 days ago, mate. But yeah, the crude oil ETF is up 11% this week. And yet, XLE, the energy sector ETF, actually slipped 0.8% last session. So either the market's asleep or it's already priced a quick Hormuz fix.
Or it's not pricing the physical depletion, Gerald. That's the key. The original take from the FT today, these stockpiles that cushioned the Iran war disruption are dangerously low now. The market's anchored to old oversupply fears, but the tank is literally draining.
Exactly. That's a harder driver to arbitrage. You can't talk a physical shortage away. The crude oil ETF is up 11% this week, and it's still 21% below its 52-week high. There's room.
All right, but look, the easy money in energy's gone. XLE's up 24% year-to-date, trailing PE of 21. It's not cheap. And last session, crude inched down in early Asian trade. The crowd's already long.
But that's the point. The equity market hasn't caught up to the crude move. XLE is up only about 3% this week versus crude's 11. That's a catch-up trade. And don't forget LNG. Winter demand, Hormuz disruption, Asia-Europe competing for cargoes. Cheniere Energy is a direct play.
Yeah, Cheniere dipped 3.5% last session, but it's up 29% year-to-date with a forward PE of 13. That's a buy on the dip.
So you're long oil, long gas. What's next? Long heating oil futures. But fine, the physical squeeze is real. I'll give you that.
See, this is the convergence. FT, Bloomberg, traders all saying the stockpile cushion is gone. When the physical market screams, financials eventually listen.
100%.
Yeah.
That's the story.
All right, let's shift gears. PayPal up 17% last session on a $53 billion bid from Advent and Stripe. That's a deal.
And the FT says investors can afford to wait. The bid may be a bargain for the buyers, and regulatory hurdles are real. Plus, after a 17% COP, the easy money's been made.
But the forward PE is 9.7, Tom. That's deep value if the deal goes through. The question is whether there's a sweeter offer. Hold, don't sell.
For real? A counterbid could light this up even more. I'm holding through the noise.
So you're holding a stock up 17% in a day on hopium that someone else bids higher. That's a strategy.
Look, the deal spread is the story. It's not about fundamentals. It's about arbitrage. Hold if you're in, but don't chase. Now, Korea. The KOSPI sold off hard, the South Korea ETF down 3% last session, 7% this week. And the government is cracking down on single-stock leveraged ETFs on Samsung and SK Hynix. That's adding fuel to the fire.
So you're telling me that chip sell-off is partly regulation-driven? That's just an excuse. The real story is AI earnings doubts. Samsung's fundamentals are unchanged. It's trading at 1.36 times book. But the sentiment is risk off.
And the Korea ETF's momentum is terrible. PE of 17, but it's sliding fast. I'd short it on the momentum, buddy. The regulation is just the cherry on top.
Wait a second. Shorting based on a knee-jerk reaction to leveraged ETF rules? That's selling the dip, Tom. If Samsung's demand is fine, this is temporary. Hold the stock, maybe, but don't short the whole market.
Marie, you're defending a chip sell-off by saying the fundamentals are fine. That's like saying the house isn't on fire, just the curtains.
Exactly. Look, the Korea ETF is down 7% in a week. That's not temporary. That's a trend.
The trend is your friend.
Until it ends.
All right, fair points.
Okay, AI is the wild card today. IBM's profit warning, shares down 28% last week, shows AI monetization is slower than the hype. But then you've got NVIDIA partnering with Toyota, Kawasaki, Physical AI, Sovereign AI in Taiwan. It's not just data centers anymore.
And yet, the Nikkei is flagging cheaper NVIDIA alternatives in Japan. That benefits AMD. NVIDIA's forward PE of 16.6 is cheap for a growth story, but if revenue guidance misses next earnings, that PE could suddenly look expensive.
Hold on. This is a split picture. New demand streams versus competition. NVIDIA is not just selling chips, it's building ecosystems. But the market is pricing both. The NASDAQ 100 ETF is flat last week, up 17% year to date. The AI coin toss.
I'm watching NVIDIA here. Don't sell, but don't buy more until we see earnings. But AMD, it's up 136% year to date, pulled back 3.5% yesterday. That's a pullback entry. Japan wants affordable AI. AMD's the play.
AMD at 136% gain, and you're calling it a pullback entry. That's buying the dip on a stock that's already tripled.
Fair, but the cheaper alternatives trend is real. I'd hold the NASDAQ 100 as a bellwether. Not cheap at 2x book, but it reflects the AI exposure.
And IBM? Day one sell. Their AI revenue timing is off, and a 28% drop is a warning.
IBM's just above its 52-week low. Already priced in the bad news? Maybe. But with that kind of warning, I'd rather be out. All right, the big macro call today. New York Fed President Williams says inflation has peaked. CPI dropped 0.4% in June, the largest monthly decline since April 2020. He's forecasting 3.25% by year end.
And that's huge for bonds. The long duration Treasury ETF is sitting just 2% above its 52-week low. If Williams is right, bonds rip.
But wait, oil is spiking, which could push inflation back up. So you've got two forces, a commodity squeeze driving prices higher and a tech earnings disappointment that could crater growth. Which one does the Fed listen to?
Williams sounds dovish now, but if crude breaks 100, that narrative flips. Still, short term, I'd buy long duration treasuries as a contrarian trade. The bond market may have overpriced rate fears.
And the S&P 500 near its all-time high, trading at 27x trailing earnings. If the Fed really leans dovish, momentum drives it higher. Buy the S&P 500 on the softening data.
All right, but it's a delicate balance. So we're buying energy on supply fears and buying bonds on inflation peaking? That's a bit contradictory.
Welcome to 2026, Marie, where oil and bonds both rise because nobody knows what happens next.
Haha, true.
Sad but true.
Quick one. Panama officials are in Beijing trying to resolve a shipping flag dispute. Vessels are rushing to remove Panamanian flags, disrupting routes. Shoreneyji Maritime is up 6.9% this week, but it's a hold until we see a deal.
Is Shinergy a buy? Geopolitical chaos often means higher shipping rates.
No, it's too uncertain. The resolution path is unclear, and emerging markets could take a hit if tensions escalate. The EM ETF is flat on the month. Low conviction hold.
Agreed. Hold both Shinergy and emerging markets. The flag row is noise until Beijing says something.
Let's circle back to the original take in the FT. Oil stockpiles that cushioned the early Iran war disruption are running dangerously low. This isn't just geopolitical risk anymore. It's a physical depletion story. Financial markets haven't priced it because they're anchored to earlier oversupply fears.
And that's why crude could spike hard. It's not about a quick resolution. Even if Hormuz opens tomorrow, the tanks are low. We're heading into winter with thin buffers.
But the market's not stupid. The bear case for oil. A ceasefire would trigger a swift unwind. XLE's up 24% year-to-date already. The easy money's gone. And with crowded positioning, a reversal could be ugly.
That's fair, but what's missing is the emerging market angle. A potential oil spike would hit EM currencies hard. The EM ETF is flatlining, the dollar's holding 100. If crude breaks higher, that's the next pain trade. The press is silent on it.
Good point. So the cleanest expression might be long energy, the energy sector ETF, and short tech, the NASDAQ 100 ETF, as a pair trade. Energy's price to book is 1.08 versus the NASDAQ's 2.01. Value is in energy.
Long oil, short tech. You're basically betting on a 1970s repeat, Tom. I respect the consistency.
I'm going to push back. We need to see how AI earnings play out first. Shorting the NASDAQ now might be early, but the divergence is clear.
As always, none of this is investment advice. These are our takes on the signals.
We're back tomorrow with the London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
See you then. And Tom, don't go all in on oil before the bell.
Putty, I already did.
Kidding.
See you tomorrow.